On this feast of Saints Simon and Jude, we have readings, often the readings taken from Ephesians and from one of the accounts of the call of the apostles to reflect on. The text in Ephesians is back in chapter 2. In the regular readings, as we've been going through, we've already seen this. He's talking to those who have come from paganism to the church in this first part of the text and here, and he's saying, you're no longer strangers and sojourners, who were the two classes of non-Jews who lived in Israel. They were called Gerim, you know, strangers and sojourners. But you're fellow citizens with the holy ones. That distinction is over. And that's one of the points he makes very often in this letter, right? How he broke down the wall of enmity and made the two one in his own body and so forth. You're members of the household of God. And so the plan of God now has expanded. Israel, the object of his very special care for a millennium, is now ready to be opened up and become the church through the death and resurrection of our Lord and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets. Now, those prophets could be Isaiah, Jeremiah, so forth, or they could be the prophets of the New Testament. Because, you see, the church moves by way of apostles and prophets. Apostles preach the gospel, lay down their lives for it, and found churches. That's an apostle. Prophets are those who keep the word of God alive in the church. The church lives by prophecy. We've been so blessed in the last several decades to have people endowed with the gift of prophecy also in the apostolic role of succeeding Peter. And you can see what happens to the church at a point like that. When these men yield to the work of the Holy Spirit and let the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ take over their lives, and the gift of prophecy expands and teaches, protects, enlightens, rejoices the whole church. Right now, after the synod, the Pope is charged with writing a report of the synod, or writing an encyclical, if he wants. Everybody's waiting for that. It's going to be on the Word of God. It's going to be on the Word of God. It's going to encourage people to go return to the Word of God and be fed and nourished every day by the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the capstone. And then through him, the whole structure is held together. And now he starts to look upon the church as a temple where God dwells and where God reveals himself. You see, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple. In him you are also a temple sacred to the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. So you see, the Spirit dwells in you, but in the whole church, which is meant to be the place where the praise of God goes up day and night, where God reveals himself, and the place where all the world is meant to come and be healed and consoled and enlightened and prepared for heaven. That's the church. In the gospel, which is Luke 6, we're back now. If we're in Luke 6, you know, we're in Luke 13 in our regular readings, but we went back to Luke 6 for this one. Almost the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And there's two things here that are important. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Wouldn't it be nice to be like praying with him, kind of watching him? There's God himself talking to God through a human nature. Wouldn't that be glorious? Oh, that's how you'd learn how to pray. Well, he's taught us already. This is how you pray. Just let those words of mine, which are coming from a divine person, this is how I prayed, get into you. And then when day came, he called his disciples to himself. And he picked out 12, and he called them apostles. Shalichim. Apostle is the Greek translation from apostello, send out. Send away. Send out. So these are the ones he sends out to carry the word to the whole world. So he sends them out, remember, and as Luke tells us later on, they come back, they're all excited. Even the demons are subject to us. He said, that's nice. I saw Satan fall myself, right from heaven. His reign is over. The church is here now. But don't get too excited about that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then we have the names. Now, the names are not exactly the same in every list. But that there's 12, yes. Why? Because by that gesture, Jesus is proclaiming that he's starting a new Israel. And these are the 12 patriarchs of the new Israel. Now, it's not Reuben, Gad, Judah, and so forth. It's Peter, Andrew, James, John. That's the new Israel. And it's the new Israel which will gather in all Israel, as Paul says there in Romans in chapter 11. And when finally the Jewish people come in, it'll be like life from the dead, alluding to Ezekiel's prophecy about the dead dry bones. And then the whole world will be filled with love and light. And we're praying for that. We're praying for that. And so you see this mystery here. Huh? It's a mystery of prayer and a mystery of love. He prayed, his whole heart, his whole being was open to the Father. The Holy Spirit was moving through his mind. He said, it's Peter and Andrew, James and John, and Judas. I'm going to give him a break. I'm going to see if I can win him over. Didn't work. But here they are. And these are the ones who right now, from their place in heaven, guide us still. They are still the patriarchs. They are the ones. We have a very dull sense of that, don't we? The apostles, well, they did their thing enough. They're wherever they are, and God bless them, and we got to go on. No, they are the, look at the book of Revelation. They are the foundation stones of the whole heavenly city.